Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. The title of this morning's sermon is simply Forgiveness. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew chapter 6 verse 12. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Forgiveness, it's the act of forgiving, the granting pardon, the showing of mercy, to reprieve, to give indulgence, to exonerate. Forgiveness. Would you please stand if you're able? The book of Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin reading at verse 20. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 20. And the Bible says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king." Remember that thought, certain king, "which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Dear Heavenly Father, as we come this day looking to your holy word, Lord, may we indeed have a heart of forgiveness. And Lord, we pray now that your will be done during this service time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we're going to continue reading there in Matthew 18, beginning at verse 28. So hopefully you didn't close your Bible, but if you did, I'm sure you can still again find Matthew 18. And we'll begin reading at verse 28. "But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee.' But he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then this lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Peter is just asked, how oft shall I forgive? And probably trying to look good hints that he was willing to forgive 7 times. Sounds good to me, doesn't it, to you? 7 times. I mean, if someone offends you 7 times, I mean, and you forgive them, well. But Jesus throws a curve at Peter, as well as at us, by saying 70 times 7 would teach us to exercise the love that was after all in the heart of the Lord. For charity never faileth. In this parable that we have just read, we see two things. Number one, the need of being forgiven. Do you think that you've ever done anything wrong that someone needs to forgive you? Would you raise your hand? I mean, if you don't think you've ever done anything wrong, well, don't raise your hand. But if, you know, we have. Not, some have 2 hands up. Yeah, I don't want to be that bold, but if I could, I'd lay on my back and put up my hands and my feet both. Yes. The need of being forgiven. And second, the need to forgive. Wow. That's hard, isn't it? The need to forgive. Yes, we've done things that need to have been forgiven. And there are times that someone has done us wrong. And we need to forgive them. Let me tell you the story. My sons and I were heading south to Tennessee. Donna didn't go with us. It was winter time. Well, it was, I think, March. Anyways, we were going to be camping at Fall Creek Falls in Tennessee in our car. And we were going to get a place that had electricity because we have an electric heater we're going to put in the car so the 3 of us would be warm at night. Do you get the picture? And we're on I-75. We had taken Rochester Road to I-75. We're on I-75 heading south. And the roads are a little slippery. And as we're heading south, there was this incident between 2 drivers. Somebody pulled in front of somebody. Have you ever seen that? Now, you've never done that. But this person pulled in front of this person, and they were unhappy, and they were blowing their horn, and I could tell they were upset. And all of a sudden, he just gunned it. He went from the inside lane, the outside lane where he was, to the middle lane, to the inside lane, and roared in front of the vehicle, the offending vehicle. And then he slammed on his brakes. And the next thing we all saw, him is flying off the freeway down the embankment. He must have hit a slippery place. I've never forgotten that. I've often wondered about the guy that in which he tried to intimidate, what he thought about this guy flying down the embankment of I-75. You know, sometimes it's hard to forgive, isn't it? Sometimes we would rather have what? Starts with an R. Revenge. Verse 23 says, a certain king, we're not told who, which would take account of his servants. Let me ask you this question. As our heavenly King searches our heart, does he find an unforgiving heart? Does he find an unforgiving heart? Does he find bitterness, envy, jealousy, as mentioned, a desire for revenge? Or does he find a heart of forgiveness? May I say this? Usually when we won't forgive, the person we won't forgive moves on. And you're the one there angry and upset. So it's better off to forgive. To forgive. In verse 24, he is checking those that owe him money. And he finds one that owes him 10,000 talents. Now that's in comparison to the guy that had 100 pence. It is believed that in today's amount, that 10,000 talents would be about $100,000. Now, that's a lot of money to owe somebody in today's world, $100,000. In verse 25, he is not able to make the compensation or repayment, restitution. So this servant was to be sold. Wouldn't that be terrible if Flagstar said, well, you can't pay your debt, so we're going to sell you? Wouldn't that be something? Yes. But not only was he to be sold, but his wife was to be sold, and his children were to be sold, and all that he had. And I wonder if it was going to be anywhere near this 10,000 talents, and I doubt it. In verses 26 and 27, the servant begs for time, and he says he will repay all that he owes. This certain king was moved with compassion and loosed him from his handcuffs and forgave him. In your mind's eye, can you see the scene? The man is begging for mercy, not only for himself, but for his wife and his children. Now, how he got in such debt, I don't know. I'm always amazed at how much Americans owe to their credit card companies, let alone their mortgages and on their car payments, etc. But this man owed a ton of money, and he's begging for mercy. And the king was so moved that he released him from both the bands on his hands and his debt. That was quite an amazing thing, wouldn't you say? May I say this? When Jesus forgives us of our sins, he forgives us of how many? All our sins. Are you glad he forgives you of all your sins? Man, I'm glad he forgives me of all my sins. Now, let's be honest about this. I sin less than anybody in this room. Why are some of you laughing? You don't believe that for a moment? You don't believe it, do you? Because I'm a sinner. The Apostle Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And I'm going to tell you, he was wrong. I'm the chief of sinners. Okay? And I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my sins. All of my sins. But then we read in verses 28 through 30 that this man did not return the good fortune that he received to the one that owed him money. Well, one owes 10,000 talents, which is about $100,000, and another owes 100 pence, which would be a few dollars. And he's going to throw him into debtor's prison, showing no mercy. Do you get the picture here of what is happening? Jesus is saying, I have forgiven you of all your sins. And you should be willing to what? Forgive others of their few sins. Isn't that easy? No, it is not easy. But is it right? It is right. We should be willing to forgive. I'm not saying that there won't be consequences. I'm not saying that there isn't a debt that still may need to be paid or that things need to be done to bring things right. But there should be a willingness to forgive. Not to hold a bitterness and an envy in one's heart. He was the one who owed so much and was given so much in return. His actions are made known to the king, who had the debtor taken and delivered to those who would retrieve what was owed the king. Somehow, and I've never understood debtor's prison, how if you're in the debtor's prison, how you're supposed to earn money to pay it back. But here we find that he had to pay every bit. As we read in Ephesians 4, we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. down through verse 23. And we're going to find in verse 19 as a lamb without blemish and without spot. But let's begin reading at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed or forgiven with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He was going to pay your debt. A debt he did not owe, but a debt we could not pay. Verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. As a lamb without blemish. 3 points. Number one, the lamb for an individual. The lamb for an individual. In Genesis 4:4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. He brought a lamb and he offered it as a sacrifice. One may ask why. Well, in Genesis 3:21, we find, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. It's believed that it was a lamb or a sheep, and it was killed, and the Lord wrapped them in these skins. Sin brings death. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May I say this? It brings death, either your death or the death of our Savior. Okay? He died for your sins. But if we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we will pay the penalty, and we will die that second death, and we will spend eternity in hell. But He's paid the debt if we're willing to accept Him as our Savior. You've all heard the story how I met Donna here at the church, right? Donna was the first girl I ever dated. First girl. Took her out to a Stevenson football game. And back in those days, Stevenson lost most of their football games. But anyways, my dad took me to pick up Donna. And then we went to Stevenson High School. We got a bus and went to the football game. Do you remember that? That was our first date. Yes. I loved it. She probably put up with it. But through the years, we began to date again. But you know what was always important? Church was important. Our love for the Lord was important. And down through the years, it has remained important. Aren't you glad that the pastor's wife comes to church? You know, I throw that out because I knew a youth director's wife who didn't go to church. You say, well, how could that happen? Well, she said, well, I don't have to go to church. Just you hired my husband. Wow. But I'm glad you come to church. I think it's a good thing. Do you think church is important? Yes. I believe it's important. And down through the years, we made the decision that church was going to be important. Well, we made the decision that giving our tithes and offerings was important. And God has blessed us beyond measure. I don't understand how the Lord has blessed, or why the Lord has blessed us, but He has. But decisions were made to bring up our children in church. And that's important that we realize that. It's important. We talked in Sunday school of the difference between feelings and truth. And truth always trumps feelings. It always trumps it. It's always more important. And Abel said, I'm going to bring a lamb. And Cain said, I'm going to bring the fruit of the ground. Because that's what I feel is good enough. It was a false religion. We have false religions in our society today. God says, this is what I want. And when he says, this is what I want, then that's what you should get. Number two, the lamb for a household. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, a lamb without blemish, an innocent lamb that was to be slain, and its blood was to be put on the doorposts and the door lintel as a sign of their faith in the Lord Jehovah. Verse 13 of chapter 12, the book of Exodus, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood. May I say this, when we stand before the Creator Judge, he will not look at what we have done, but what our Redeemer has done. What our Redeemer did for us. That we are covered by the blood. And he will bid us enter to our heavenly home. Do you know Christ is your Savior? And are you living like he's your Savior? Number three, the Lamb for the world. The Lamb for the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus Christ died for one purpose. He came to earth for one purpose. God sent him here. God sent God to die for your sins, for my sins, to redeem us. Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Thank God for forgiveness. Thank God for the redemption, for the ransom paid. Thank God that the blood was shed for you and for me. How much God must love us. How much we owe. Shall we stand together? 401, only trust him. Only trust him. Will we be willing to trust him with our lives, with our soul, with our future? Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing this invitation song, may the Spirit move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.